Off the Ball Breakfast.
You're not supposed to pull someone's hair.
But they have long hair. So, like, it's more likely to be pulled. Like, if Cameloon had a skin fade yesterday, he wasn't getting his hair pulled.
So it's
grow your hair if you manage it. The little trenches you need.
The careful line of not blaming the victim here. So,
yeah, a little bit of victim blame.
Why are you shoving his face?
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
Welcome back. So the Champions League action is up and running already. Two goals at the Allianz Arena in Munich. It looks like Pavlovic has just equalised for Bayern Munich from a corner. Arda Güler had put the visitors Real Madrid 1-0 up and had tied the leg, but it is now back to 3-2 in favour of Bayern Munich over the two legs as a result of that equaliser on the night. So goals flying in Munich. It is still nil all between Arsenal and Sporting at the Emirates Stadium after 8 minutes. 1-0 to Arsenal after last week's victory in Lisbon. Now it is time to talk rugby, and I'm very happy to say that we've got Anna Capeless with us on the line. Before we bring in Anna though, Cameron Hill was at today's media day at the IRFU High Performance Centre, where he spoke to Irish international Fiona Toot ahead of this weekend's Six Nations clash with Italy.
Fiona Toot, we are into week two of a busy Six Nations campaign. Just to talk about the England game and maybe put a line under it, what were your conversations, what was training like this week, what were the main takeaways from you as a group a couple of days on?
Main takeaway was we need to start faster. We gave England some easy ins there at the start of that game, you know, simple errors, knock-ons, you know, line out D, little things like that, where we gave England easy ins. So main focus this week and in training and everything we've gone after this week has been starting really fast and starting well. So training's been really, really tough. We've had, you know, a lot of learning on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, then we get to test things. So it's been a really good week. It's been a tough week. We take a lot of learns away, but we focus always on ourselves. So we're starting quick and yeah, we'll go after our own game.
You must be absolutely gagging to get out there on Saturday and putting last week to bed and taking on an Italy side who you beat last year but had your number 2 years ago, and maybe that was a game that got away. So this must be the perfect opportunity to move on from Twickenham.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Italy are a really good side. You know, their back three are really, really good. They bring a different threat to England did. They'll go after every single breakdown. You know, they'll box to kick. So a few different threats than last weekend. But yeah, it's a focus on us. Really excited to head to Galway for a Six Nations game in Galway, new stadium. It's class out there, so we got to play a Celtic Challenge game there, which is really, really cool. So really excited. We're gunning to get going, to be honest with you. Game two is always one where the bodies are still feeling fresh, and yeah, just excited to play and bring us at the weekend.
How much has that game at the RDS against Italy 2 years ago factored into your prep this week? I know it was a tough one. You nearly had the chance to win it just at the end and it just got away from you. But there was a real sense of maturity that we're on a path here. This is a setback. It's tough. Like, how much has Scott or the senior player group leaned into how you felt coming off the back of that game at the RDS?
We haven't focused on it too much. We definitely acknowledge it, and you know, there's a lot of the player group that would have experienced that before, but we're a team that have gone through a lot of experiences since then. You know, we've played on huge stages, we've had tough defeats, we've had really good wins, but equally we've a lot of new players coming in, you know, new leadership group, young girls coming in who are, you know, pushing us, more senior girls as well, which is, it's amazing. But no, we don't look back too much on that. Yes, we study Italy and exactly what they do, but we focus all on us and on this new squad that we have and how we want to play this year.
Fiona Toot talking to Cameron Hill earlier today. Very happy to say that Anna Capeless is with us. Anna, how are you doing?
Grand, Dawn. How are you?
All good. Is the glass half full or half empty after Twickenham?
Half full.
Okay. Tell us why.
Definitely half full. You might be forgiven for thinking that it's half empty because, you know, just like Fiona's chatting about there, they did let England play a little bit, and England weren't that good on Saturday. England especially were a team that was kind of really showing that they hadn't played together in a while. I thought Ireland's defence at times was really good. Their defensive line, like the first kind of steps of their defence, looked great, and then that's when they kind of start to, after a phase or two, break down. But in general, they let England into the game, and they contained some parts of England really well, like Ellie Kildon. They had her boxed off, they had her earmarked for sure. But all in all, I think we're kind of greedy now with this Irish side, given how much, you know, how great they have been in the last couple of years, the performances that they have put out there. So maybe we're expecting more. But when you kind of stand back and look at the scoreline at the end, you know, 33-12 is not, it's not a, you know, that's a common scoreline in rugby. And in most rugby weekends, you'd have a scoreline like that from a visiting team that can only manage, you know, two tries. And I was delighted for them to have got the two tries. But I think, you know, again, this 80-minute performance, especially against England, world champions, in front of 77,000 people, was just a bit too much to ask of this Irish squad just yet. And I'm glad to hear that they, you know, they had the hard conversations. They realised that that's the case. A lot of the chat from the players afterwards, you know, including Cliona Maloney-MacDonald, who spoke about, you know, we at some stage we'll be able to stop treating these games as an occasion and only like focus on the performance. But so much of the chat is around the occasion, and that's such a massive caveat in everything. So when we look at the final scoreline and take it all into consideration, I think the glass is definitely half full.
The Ireland defence hasn't really been given much credit for what happened on Saturday. It's all been put down to England not being at their best. So talk to us about what Ireland did well in defence to ensure that England weren't at their best.
I think that they organised their defensive line really well. What I thought was missing then was kind of that pace up off the line. Like a few of the players are really good at it. I was very impressed with Nancy McGillivray when she came in. I think it was easier for the players coming in because, you know, the result is maybe decided and you're a little less tentative. So someone like Nancy McGillivray, Ruth Campbell was the same. Neve O'Dowd is an expert at it. She's the one that flies about the line. Maybe they could have done with her in the first half and her leading up that defensive line speed, because the defensive line was organised and it looked really good. And then they're just letting England kind of come at them a bit. So England were getting metres off every carry because Ireland are coming up slowly and not shooting out the line. Cliona Maloney started to do it. Cliona Maloney-MacDonald, pardon me, started to do it as well in the second half, like really, you know, go after that. And it shut England down at times. But they were also probably quite conscious of the back three, and when the ball is moving out, you know, amongst the backs, they're very good at hitting out the back and hitting that back three. So you might forgive them for being a little bit slow off the line because they're trying to watch what's going on in the backfield as well. Because if someone like Ellie Kildon, you know, gets around you, Jess Breach as well, like we saw Jess Breach's pace on Saturday, like she absolutely steamrolled in. It was like, oh my God, how is she so much faster than everyone else? It looked crazy. So
is she the fastest, you know, player in the game, Anna?
Jess Breach.
It was electric. It looked like a cheat code when she scores that try. And it was a brilliant finish as well, by the way. It wasn't just the pace. She had a lot of work to do.
Yeah, she had a lot of work to do, but the pace was blistering, looked massively impressive. I don't know if she would be the fastest in the game. That's actually a good question. I must find the actual answer to that, or who is it that's putting their hands up for that? Because between herself and Ellie Kildon, they absolutely would. Abby Dow, obviously, who retired last year, would have been in there as well, like pushing for that. But Claudia Maloney-MacDonald is also like super quick. But I think Jess kind of had a bit of momentum from the block down and chased through. So, you know, she's not the player turning around. That's a really difficult thing about a block down. You know, when you have to turn, you have to realise what's happening, turn and chase back. So Ireland were already building into their chase back when Jess Breach had already spotted the gap through. So, you know, that was really tough on Ireland, that like moment, because they were building and they had those two excellent sustaining the pressure on their own try line and withheld that and built up a bit of, you know, momentum to try and get out of there. And then the block down from Meg Jones, which was just, you know, fantastic. But it was really unfair because Stacey Flood decided to kick it just as the referee had shouted advantage over. So I think that was really unfortunate timing. So that was a real opportunistic try. You know, if England don't get that, you know, that tells a different story again, quite a different story of the scoreline. So I think that was a really tough moment for Ireland. So then, when we're talking about their defence, I just think that they had thought a lot about the backfield and the threats that are posed there, so that they were more focused on that than maybe just the initial, you know, front up, one up, first pass defence.
It also sounds like there's a confidence piece here where they've, you know, obviously had a desperate experience at Twickenham 2 years ago. Like that scoreline is not something anybody ever wants to revisit. And that has to have been in the subconscious in some way. Whereas they'll come away from Saturday thinking, geez, we actually have closed the gap considerably on this team. And there were probably just a few little moments where the experience of 2 years ago and even the experience of playing them at home last year just comes to the fore. But next time they're in that situation, maybe England don't break the line that easily. Maybe that yard where you just doubt yourself, that little bit just doesn't occur. And actually this overall thing is a confidence question.
Yeah, confidence definitely. And also the fact that it's the biggest crowd that Ireland will ever have played in front of, like that affects your own focus on the game, your concentration, the connection you have with the girls on your left and right, and even the girls in behind, you know, the communication is just so much more difficult. So you can try and prepare for that, but you can't actually, because there's no, you just can't live that in training. So England are quite a few steps ahead of Ireland in that, just that part alone, you know, playing in front of big crowds. And obviously it's growing for Ireland on the all the time. You know, Brighton last year was an immense occasion. But again, you look at the scoreline there, it's always big crowds with very big opposition. So, you know, that Brighton game against New Zealand was, you know, really a huge challenge for Ireland. And the scoreline told the story of that. But each time it comes around, the players will get more used to it. And England are, you know, a good bit ahead of Ireland on that journey.
Where are Italy at? And what's the expectation for this weekend?
They had a very similar first round encounter, you know, and even looking further into it, there's a similar profile of both teams' stories, where if you look at Ireland, you know, the not the best players, sorry, I won't put it that way, but a lot of the Irish players are playing in the Premiership, in the PWR, which is the best league, is what I want to say there. And then you have them going to play England. So they know a lot of the girls. You might think that might be a factor of their preparation, where they're like, you know, we know these girls, we play against them every week, we're not scared of them. You know, we can hold our own in the PWR, so we can bring our team up here as well to believe that they can do the same. Italy are very similar, where a lot of their girls are playing in the France Elite 1 competition. And the same thing, you know, they know those girls, they play against them week in, week out. And then it comes to actually going back with your national team, doing your homework there, preparing for a Six Nations. And they also had a very slow, kind of rusty first half. Both sides did, France and Italy. Italy seemed to hold their own. Again, defensively, they had really good stats and you know, had the kind of start they wanted defensively, but attacking-wise, just couldn't put anything together. Very same as Ireland. And then France, just like England, you know, they twisted it, got the knife in and twisted it well in the second half. So two very, very similar stories. I think what's in Ireland's favour now is that Italy are now have been away 2 weekends in a row. So they're coming to Galway this weekend. Last year's result will, you know, I think it'd be dangerous to look at last year's result and look at Italy's performance in the World Cup, where the only win they got was against Brazil. So they had a very disappointing World Cup. I think it'd be dangerous to look at those two elements and be like, oh, this will be a piece of cake, because Ireland, you know, scored two tries in Twickenham, and Ireland thinks that, you know, they can maybe compete for second this year. So it would be really unfortunate if we overlooked how strong and experienced this Italy side is going into the match on Saturday and not being prepared for it. And, you know, if you look at the Italian team, like, alongside the Irish team. And, you know, when the teams come out tomorrow, I'll have a sit down and look through all my numbers in the teams. And the number of caps is always something, one of the first kind of pieces of detail you write down when, you know, you're making your notes for the weekends and stuff. But there's a lot of experience in that Italian team. An awful lot, and when you add them up, probably quite a good bit more than in Ireland. So it's not going to be an easy time. They're coming with a mission, especially after their first round as well. And they finished with a fantastic try from two of their substitutes who linked up for a crossfield kick. So you know, they're coming to win in Galway for sure. So Ireland have to be very aware of that. Nice listening to Fiona talking about how hard they've trained this week, the hard conversations, and preparing for, you know, a tough fixture against Italy.
So last year it was 54 points to 12 against Italy in favour of Ireland away from home. Why do you think that needs to be somewhat disregarded? Obviously, new season, 12 months on, like it does feel that Ireland certainly haven't disimproved since then. You could maybe make a case on the back of that result alone that Ireland should be pretty hot favourites.
Yeah, no, sorry, not to disregard. I wouldn't disregard it. Of course, you can take confidence from it, but not complacency. Yeah. And just to, you know, Italy have been difficult for Ireland to overcome in Six Nations gone by when things have been going really well for Ireland. So I just think that it's a, you know, very experienced Italian squad that's kind of waiting to click. And if they click, they can be completely, completely dangerous. You know, that back three that they have, Alessa Dinka, an outside centre as well, is hugely dangerous. They've got a very strong pack. I do think if it's, you know, Ireland at their best and Italy at their best, Ireland would win. So it's just about making that happen and getting that fast start that they're looking at and not relax into the game then and finish it out.
That's the key point, isn't it? Because it's probably informs why last Saturday can be looked at as a glass half full situation, is that Ireland were not at their best in that performance against England. And still the scoreline reflected pretty well when you look at recent history at Twickenham. So I guess the key question, Anna, is how do Ireland unlock their best this weekend? And there's a couple of different factors to it. I'm sure some of this is match minutes and actually getting time out on the pitch. Obviously, players who are based back here aren't getting exposed to the level of rugby required to hit top form. Can that happen in the space of a week? Do you expect those players to be hitting their straps now this Saturday?
I mean, it's happened before. If you look at, you know, especially the Celtic Challenge in the last couple of years, and the quality of the opposition, improved this year in terms of international players from Scotland and Wales featuring in the Celtic Challenge. So it only brings up the level. But Ireland have really been overperforming if we're going to go on the league that is preparing them for it. Just the one thing about it is that it's Clovers and Wolfhounds. Wolfhounds have been outstanding and they won the, you know, they won the Celtic Challenge. Clovers are, you know, brilliant side as well. So there's cohesion there between two separate teams who know each other very well, plus your big names that are in the PWR. So I think it's a good recipe and Ireland have been using it really well. And they've, you know, we were really skeptical of the Celtic Challenge and how it was preparing the side in Six Nations gone by. And actually, I was, you know, kind of happy to say that I was surprised at how well the Irish players, you know, were playing. So I think the thing that you're right about, that they didn't play that well last weekend as a team, but individually there are some big names there that were pretty quiet in Twickenham on Saturday that are definitely want more work. You know, if you look at the some of the stats, like some of the players, you know, it's a 5-game tournament, so you've got 5 games to make up your tournament stats, but there's, I would think that some players who are kind of, you know, outside of the top rankings at this stage still have an awful lot of work to do and will do that to get amongst the top statistics of, you know, ball carries, meters made, offloads, turnovers. That's, if you look at the stats kind of the overview after last weekend, Ireland are at the bottom of almost everything. Because it was against England in Twickenham, you know. So there, I think there's just huge hunger there for them to play ball and do the things that they want to do in terms of the back row. We spoke so much about the back row before the game, and then they were kind of quiet. You know, Brittany Hogan did, you know, massive work in defence, and she carried the ball a lot. But Aoife Wafer is going to want to get on that ball. Erin King is going to want to get on the ball. Like, Aoife Dalton and Eve Higgins, I just think they're absolutely outstanding. And I'd love for them to just hit the ground running on Saturday and just call, you know, pull the strings, call the shots. And I know they're helping Dan O'Brien out there, you know, to drive the game. But there's threats all over the park that were kind of quiet last week that are just going to want to do their own job as best they can this weekend.
Yeah, like, is what Dan O'Brien is being asked to do, is that changing ever so slightly in terms of kicking from hand, like trying to get in behind that England defence was something that you tried on a couple of occasions last week. Sometimes it felt maybe a little bit aimless, but then maybe the kick chase wasn't great. Obviously, she had that moment as well where she kicked one of the penalties dead as well, which she'd be disappointed with. Although, not quite sure how accurate that call was given the body language of the players on the pitch. And maybe there was one or two hometown calls. Let's just say the players weren't the only ones maybe impacted by 76,000 people in Twickenham last weekend. Yeah. Nevertheless, it just feels that that's very much something that's still in progress at the moment in terms of what she's being asked to do and how she's executing it.
I think that's probably fair to say after round one and after England. I think that she'll steady the ship as the weeks go on, and I think her kicking game is fantastic. And now that you know they've had a taste of like the real top level in terms of shutting down like a back three, I think they'll want to use it a bit more this weekend. So it seems we were building our structure around Dana and her abilities. Which is kind of dangerous because if anything, you know, there have to be changes at some stages, and who could fill those boots, you know, exactly like Dana plays. I'm not sure if we have anyone who's at that level yet. So I don't know. It's just so hard. We're reviewing it. I'm reminded of the the men's Six Nations so yeah. much, where after the first round, the whole country was up in a hoop after the first round. You know, everyone's questioning pathways and school systems. And after that first round versus France, and then as the weeks went on, we started to ground ourselves a bit more. So that's what I predict is going to happen in this tournament as well. Or at least I hope so, because like you said, the best version of that Irish team we just didn't see on Saturday. And someone like Dana, who was quiet, you know, I want her to kind of, yeah, just hold her own a bit more in terms of like driving the game, because we spoke about her the last year and you know, in her first few caps, it's like, wow, there's real hope here and promise here. And then she kind of keeps coming back, keeps getting the jersey, which is so strange for the Irish women's team because they've had so many tens in and out of that jersey. Strange to see someone hang on to it for so long, and it's such a credit to her, but it also signifies like how they do want to build this team. So I think we'll see more of that kicking game from Dana as the Six Nations continues.
I think you've done a great job of breaking this down in a very measured manner and not reading into the hype one way or the other. Just one last question, and this flies in the face of all of that, because you're going to have to give some ridiculous answer to this. Which is a more likely thing to occur? For France to beat England or for Ireland to beat France? Because watching that on Saturday, it seems like either of those two things could occur.
Both of those things could happen.
Yeah. Which is most likely?
Genuinely, both of those things could happen. Most likely is that Ireland would beat France.
Okay. That's what we like to hear. Finally, some blind Irish pride to top off this slot.
But Bordeaux in the final round, and like if you look back to last year in Twickenham, England beat England beat France 43-42. So France are going to believe that they can beat England this year, definitely down in Bordeaux. That's what they're kind of teeing it up for. So I think it'd be just like them to look past Ireland and kind of fumble the Irish weekend and then go ahead and beating England. It's just the typical French thing to do. So we'll see what happens. But I think Ireland have to believe that they can actually finally take second place this year and beat France.
Anna Capus, always great to chat to you. Thanks a million for joining us.
Slán.
Cheers, we'll take a quick break.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.